Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone has had a wonderful week, and I invite you to stand as we begin worship.
Good morning. Please have a seat. My name is Andrew, if we haven't met yet, and the senior pastor here at Columbia Grove. We're just thrilled to have you here as part of worship on this Memorial Day weekend. So thanks for making worship a priority. And see, our online number's a little bit up today, so probably a bunch of you joining us from RVs and campsites. I know you're there at Bonaventure and Fieldstone as well, so it's kind of fun, even from this room, to be able to also be ministering into some of the assisted living facilities around the valley. So thank you for that, and thanks tech team for making that happen. That's pretty cool. Could you give them a hand? Now, one of the things that we love to do around here is we love to raise up young leaders. And even in the midst of this past year and all of the pandemic and all that stuff, we've been developing a worship intern. And so that's Eric Simmons. And this is actually, he's completing his 1 year internship. There's a couple little gaps in there because there was just a gap in everything. He doesn't know I was doing this today. He thought this was happening a little bit later. Make certain we had a chance to do this. It's a certificate of completion. About a 1 year internship and some letters of recommendation because in the past year, Eric has had to learn an awful lot of stuff. Everything from how to lead on a guitar to scheduling bands to about five different software platforms, a whole number of mixing platforms and video editing platforms. There is a lot that goes on, especially in today's world where ministry is both in person and online. There's a lot that goes on. So anyways, thank you. Thank you for that. And so can we give him a hand? And now that's the really good news. Now one of the hard parts is that he's also getting ready in a few weeks to move, right? Can you tell us where you're moving to? No, on the microphone.
I'm moving to Tacoma.
How do we feel about that? Okay, so y'all see if you can talk him out of that. Because if we can find him affordable housing and maybe a cute girl in the Wenatchee Valley, a Christian girl, we could turn this around if we do this right. Anyways, but it is just such a thrill to be able to invest in him, and just I hope you've had as much joy watching him grow as I have had. And of course, we're also getting ready to in a few weeks' time. There's probably going to be some announcements about other incoming interns because developing leaders is a huge part of what we do here at Columbia Grove. So thank you for being a part of that. Thanks for being a gracious place that builds people up. One more hand for him. So speaking of building people up, we have a children's church program. Yes! So I want us to pray as we get ready to dismiss our kids. And then parents, I'm assuming you probably registered your kids as you came in. But if not, there's some stations in the back. And then Miss Marcia. Marcia, would you put up your hand in the back? Marcia will be getting ready to welcome kids and usher them down. And there's got some really fun lessons and videos and songs and things like that. You might even hear a little bit of it during the service. That's all the good kind of noise around here. We just love hearing and watching kids grow. So let's pray. And so if you're sitting next to somebody who may be heading off to Children's Church, put a hand on their shoulder. If you wish they'd head off to Children's Church, put a hand on their shoulder. And we'll just pray. God, thank you so much that we get to be here. Thank you for this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness and your grace. And Lord, we thank you for Eric. Thank you for the things you've been doing in his life. We just celebrate that. And we pray, God, you would continue that good work in him. We're just so proud of him. And Lord, we are also just so thrilled to have Children's Church. We are so grateful for the children in our midst. And God, we pray that as they are, as they head off, as they hear these lessons, as sing these songs, God, would you just speak deeply into their hearts? Let them get to know you as their friend, as their Lord, as their guide, as their Savior, as the center and very focus of their life. And so, God, we just commit them to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So while kids are getting settled in Children's Church, take about 30 seconds and greet a few people around you. Watch for the social cues, you know, so if it's appropriate, give them a high five or a fist bump or some moose antlers or whatever you need to do. And then we're going to jump back into singing in just a few moments. Thank you. if you are at all like me, this past year has been one of more challenge than normal. And it's easy sometimes in a time that feels a little extra tumultuous, a little extra stormy, it's sometimes a challenge to wonder, you know, where's God? Where's God in the midst of this? And so I wanted to actually teach you, it's a new song, it's one like actually I wrote just recently that kind of comes out of that experience. And so I know this is new, I know you don't know the song yet, but I just invite you to sing along as best you can. And just think about how in those times of struggle, in those times where life feels uncertain, how Jesus is there. He's there in the midst of the storm. In fact, he's often just walking right toward you in the midst of the storm, walking on the water. So stand, sit, whatever makes more sense, but I just invite you just to enter into worship and remembering that we serve a Savior who meets us in times of trial.
Soul, I know you're anxious. The waves are more than you have seen before. Oh, my soul, keep on breathing. Your help is coming to you from the shore. When I'm sinking in a storm, when I can't hold on much longer, I call out to my Jesus, the one who walks on water. When I'm reaching in the dark, when the fear is feeling stronger, I call out to my Jesus, the one who walks on water. Soul, I know you're sinking, but this is not the place your story ends. Oh, my soul, keep believing. He is closer now than you can comprehend. When I'm sinking in a storm, when I can't hold on much longer, call out to my Jesus, the one who walks on water. When I'm reaching in the dark, when the fear is feeling stronger, I call out to my Jesus, he's the one who walks on water. Your eyes up, lift your eyes up, lift your eyes up, he's walking on water to you. Lift your eyes up, sing it with me. Lift your eyes up, lift your eyes up, he's walking on water to you.
Thank you that you're the one that walks on water. Thank you that you're the one who provides in ways that go so far beyond what we can ever ask or imagine. You are absolutely trustworthy, absolutely faithful. I
like to invite Kimberly Lewis to come up and lead us in the time of congregational prayer. Invite you to have a seat, and let's just bow our hearts before the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with thankful hearts. We give you glory and honor. Today, Lord, we remember those who died in service for our country. Help us never to forget their sacrifice. Lord, we ask you for peace and wisdom for our government leaders, that they make wise and good decisions, that they lean into your guidance for direction in the best interest for our country. Lord, we lift up those on the margins of society, refugees, immigrants, the hungry, the persecuted, the defenseless, the poor, and the elderly and unborn. Remind us, Lord, to be aware in our community the hurting around us. Give us the sight to act and show your love. Lord, we pray for our children's church, that our children will always grow in your faith. Bless our teachers, that they would be encouraged as your Holy Spirit moves within our children. We pray for our churchyard cell next week, that it would be an open door to share your love. Bless the hands that help with the yard sale and give them courage to be boldly to love like Jesus. Father, we pray for those suffering with chronic pain. We ask for waves of your love to flood them, giving them relief to rest. Remind them that you're always near. Lord, we lift up Susan Letts and the family as her mother, Becky, faces cancer. We ask for your grace to consume them as they walk this journey, and broken hearts become open to your love. Father, we thank you for giving us this time to fellowship and grow deeper in you. Bless Mary as she shares a message you have laid upon her heart. Let our hearts and minds be open and focused on the message you have for each of us. Amen.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you all today. I see so many faces that we love. I've already cried a few times this morning. But I'm not really technologically savvy, so I think I got my mic figured out here. But thank you. Thank you so much for having us here today. It is good to be back with you all. And for those of you that I haven't met, hello. My name is Mary Gandy, and my family's here with me today. My husband, Eric, and our daughters, Peyton and Marley. And we have been those people up in Alaska, if we haven't met and you've wondered, who are they? And what are they like? We have been up in Alaska for really the last 2.5 years, but really we've been there it's been 5 years ago was the first time that we went up there as a family. And we went up there from this wonderful church and from this wonderful congregation. And through our trips up there and meeting people up there, we really sensed a call from God to go up there and to serve as pastors. And so 2.5 years ago, we went up and we were called, and I've been the lead pastor, and my husband Eric has been the youth pastor up there for the last couple of years. And like all of our journeys, right, they're never a straight path, or they're never the path that we think they're going to look like. They are God's path. And so that brought us back here for a little while. During that call, we came back for some health reasons, but went, you know what? We're not done. God, we don't think you're done with us up there. And so we went back. We went back, and really with the intention of thinking we were going to be there for a while. But some things changed. And again, our paths are not always God's paths or what we think they're going to be. And so some things changed for us, and we've just been a lot of time praying and decided that this year, at the end of our call letter, that we would leave Shaktulik, which was a really, really hard decision for us, but we felt as we came closer to that decision that was what we needed to do. And so now we're on our way. Actually, today, after church, we'll be hopping in our caravan of vehicles and heading south to Tucson, Arizona, where we have family. So I am just super excited that it worked out to come here today and to visit with you all. And I wanted to share a little bit with you today about something that really was over the last couple of months. And something I learned as we were preparing to go. We had spent some chunks of time. We were praying for 40 days at a time for God, help us, give us clarity on this decision, give us confirmation. And God was so faithful in that and was very clear and did give us confirmation in what He wanted us to do. And so as we made this decision and we were looking towards our time in Shaktulik coming to an end, I really wanted to end well. That became my prayer, was that call and that time there would end well. Because, you know, when you know something's kind of maybe coming to an end, and it's easy to start to think, well, what's next? It's easy to kind of maybe avoid being in the present and to think about what's next. And so I was thinking and praying of what can I do to end well. And I got this idea, because in Shaktulik, I learned how to bake bread. Like, I can cook pretty well, but baking bread is something, right? Any bread bakers in here? I know there's a couple of you, right? Okay, you know, there's something to baking bread. It's a process. It takes the day, right? But I started baking bread and throughout our time, and I would bake a loaf, and I would bake two at a time, because, right, you're going to go through all that work. Let's just get two loaves of bread going here. So, but I would have one loaf for our family, and I would usually pray and say, well, where can I take this other loaf of bread? And so I thought about that, and I thought, you know what, for this time and this ending time, I'm going to bake 40 loaves of bread and get them out of the house and take them to other people and pray about where they should go and just use that to help me go out, to help me to continue to minister, to help me to continue to be intentional. So that was about 2 months before we were leaving. And I thought, right, 60 days, 40 loaves of bread, no problem, right? No, I got this. This is easy, right? So I started baking bread, and I would journal. I wrote down every, because I wanted to pray for where I had taken the bread and just remember where I had taken the bread. And so each number, you know, I wrote down number two, number five, and I got going along, and I started to learn some things. I learned a lot of things in these last couple of months and taking this bread out. But one thing that really hit me as I was writing down a number and writing about maybe where I had shared it, what hit me is that the number, there were more loaves of bread. Because when I got to number 20, I hadn't just baked 20 loaves of bread. I had probably baked 30 loaves of bread, taken 20 out. But there were the loaves of bread that I ate, because I like bread. I ate the bread. And my kids and my husband, we ate the bread as well in our family. And I realized there's going to be more than 40 here. And I realized, too, there's something of the time of making the bread. Right? The smell is so good. Even if you bake bread and it doesn't turn out, the smell is usually really good. Unless you burn it. But it's good, right? The smell is good. And it came from the center of our home. Right? Our kitchens are this central place in our home where we spend time in this oven, right? This warm place in our home. This bread was going out from the center of our home. It was feeding me. It was feeding my kids and my family. And it was going out from there. I was able to bake the bread because of people, because of the community that we lived in, because of people at our store where I could go and buy the things that I needed, because of people, because of pilots who brought in our groceries, because of someone who would put all those groceries in their truck in boxes and deliver them to our house or deliver them from the store. It was a community that made that happen. And most importantly, it was because of God, because God had created so that I was able to take these out and share them. You know, we think about going out, and I remember thinking about going on a trip to Alaska, or there's some of our Nicaragua team here going to Nicaragua, and it's exciting, right? And I just one of those people that's like, yeah, I want to go out. But this reminded me that we go out from a place of nourishment. We go out from a place of deep faith in a God who cares and loves us so incredibly deeply. That's where we go out from. And that's how we take Jesus out into the world. We must be physically and spiritually nourished to take his nourishment out and to be his hands and his feet. Today we're going to be in John chapter 6. So if you have your Bible or if you have it on your phone, however, I encourage you to get it out. And let me get turned here to John chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at this account of Jesus performing this miracle of feeding 5,000 people bread and fish and multiplying it for the needs of these people here. So John chapter 6, starting in the very, very first verse of John chapter 6, we come here and I'm just going to go ahead and start reading from the beginning of it. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore, the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. And then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. Jesus was healing. People were following him. They were following him for this healing because of the signs that he had performed. And he went up to a mountainside to teach them. So we look at this and what he's doing. He's teaching there. He's with this group of people. And we also look at the time period it is in. And the time period was near the Passover festival. So I want to look today at these different, who is here? Who is here on this mountainside? Who is here in this moment of feeding and teaching? And the first group I want to look at is the people that were there, the people that were following Jesus, the people that were gathering around, and what was going on for them. They were people in need of healing, right? Like there was a reason that they were continuing to follow him. They had a deep need for healing, a deep need to, even we'll come to in a little bit, to be fed, right? They were there for this nourishment, and Jesus was providing it. But there was something about them. There was so much to their story. These were Jewish people, and it was around the time of Passover. And in the time of Passover, the theme of bread is great. This would be on their minds. The theme of bread, the bread that they didn't, that their ancestors did not allow to rise because God was hurrying them out of slavery. This bread that was unleavened because it didn't have the time that it needed to rise because God was freeing their ancestors. He was freeing their people. There was also what might be on their minds is that when God had done this, he told them in Exodus, he said, you must eat unleavened bread, and he called them to remember this time. And it was the festival and the unleavened bread that they would remember this time, and for 7 days they were to eat bread that was not leavened bread, bread that was not allowed to rise, and they were to cleanse their homes of anything that would allow the bread to rise. Well, they didn't have the little packets of yeast then, you know? Those weren't around. I'd go to the store and buy the packets of yeast, and things would just get moving, right, to bake the bread, but they didn't have that. What allows the bread to rise without yeast is just time of bread or of flour and water mixed together in time. So the cleansing would be going through their home and taking out all of that flour. Could you imagine? So when I bake bread, and my family can attest to this, it's a little bit messy, and I'm understating it. So the flour's going, you know? It's going places. Or let's, maybe you're thinking, I don't bake bread. But if you have, maybe you've been in a shop and you've used one of those things that, you know, what, I don't know what it's called. You cut stuff in a shop. and you cut wood, right? What just happens? The sawdust goes everywhere. Just say, okay, you're going to clean every crevice of that sawdust or every crevice of flour. That is not an easy thing to do, but it was a way to remember what God had done, and that's what he was calling them to in this festival of unleavened bread. So on their mind was the need they had right there, and it was also remembering what God had done. There was depth to their story. There was depth to who they were, and there was depth to their need. They were hungry. We also have someone else in this story. In verse 5, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." It would take more. It was a great amount of people. So here the disciples are there, and Jesus is just setting them up, right, to teach them. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" So here is this boy. Now, in our Sunday school classes, sometimes, right, he gets depicted as like this super cute little boy, but he could have maybe been a teenager. I almost like to think he was a teenager who was here with this bread from his family. We don't know very much about him, right? Except for he was either a young person or in his youth, and he had 5 loaves of barley loaves of bread, which meant that his family was poor, and he had some fish. And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. I want to think about this little boy and these barley loaves that he brought. See, he didn't, it wasn't just him who showed up. He came from a place of depth. He came from a family who very likely were the ones that made these loaves of bread. And very likely, this family grew the barley to make these loaves of bread. They had seeds, right, that they would have planted from other barley that they had. And they had to care for the land that they had. It wasn't like Western Washington where there's a lot of rain, right? This was an arid, dry climate, and they had to care for the land. They had to sweat over it. They had to make sure that it got water to protect it, to keep things out and to keep it growing. They had to nourish it. and work hard for it. They would harvest it together, and they would grind into flour the parts of that plant to use to then mix with the water, to then let that dough rise, to then bake this barley loaf. But you know what? It wasn't like they each had their own oven. They would often go to a community oven, and they would mark the bread with their family's marking. And they would put marks on the bread so that it could easily be broken. And they put it into a family oven, sometimes, or into a community oven. And sometimes that was like hot coals over the top. So it wasn't like that beautiful, perfect, round loaf of nice, yummy bread that we're thinking of. It probably was a little marked and a little stained and had just coal markings on the top of it. And I love this so much because this is the bread that Jesus multiplied. And when we think about our imperfections and our markings and the stuff on our lives, this is what Jesus used. And you ever feel like, how could Jesus possibly use me? I'm telling you, he can and he will when you're willing to show up and bring from the depth of yourself and to have faith in what he wants to do in your life and to have faith in what he has done so that you can receive salvation. This boy brought this bread from a really deep faith, from a lot of sacrifice for his family. And this bread was transformed by Jesus. Psalm 92 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." From everlasting to everlasting. John 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus was there in the beginning. When God created, when God spoke forth life, when God planted, God created this perfect soil, right? We read about in Genesis, in Genesis 2, verse 8 through 9, it says, "Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." God planted in this perfect garden, in this perfect soil, and he planted man. But that got a little mixed up, right? Because there was a choice and sin entered in and there was brokenness. But God was not done. God was continuing to care for what he had created out of this incredibly deep place of love. When you think about how much you are loved, look at anywhere in Scripture because God is communicating to us how much he loves us. And there, when we read, when Adam and Eve realized their sin and they realized they were naked and they felt ashamed, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and he clothed them, he covered. He continued to care for what he had created. He cleansed with water. He cleansed the earth. Even when he saw wickedness, the Lord God cleansed it with water. In Genesis 6:5-8, the Lord God saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and that very inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at the time, and the Lord regretted all that he had made. The Lord cleansed, but the Lord God saw the faithfulness of Noah, and he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Continually, God cared for and nourished. He gave instruction. He planted his people took time and took care. It took struggle. God constantly has been teaching and shaping his people and pruning and preparing them. Because in all this, God was taking his time to show his glory and his faithfulness through Jesus Christ. And that is who was there with these people in this deep need, who had a deep, rich history that was rooted in God, to this little boy whose family had given out of the depth of themselves, and they were rooted in God. And here was Jesus Christ from the depth of God himself, his one and only son, here on earth in human skin, fully God, full of God's glory. And there Jesus performed this miracle of multiplying this bread. And the next day, people continued to follow him. And the next day, Jesus continued to teach, because Jesus was heading towards the cross and Jesus was leading them to realize who he was and what he was about to do. And that the cleansing that they were trying to do in their homes, that he was going to be the one that would cleanse their lives and cleanse our lives of all those specks of sin that we can't ever figure out or find. It's God himself through his son, Jesus Christ, who was preparing to do that. And in this leading and in his teaching, we go to John chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus said, Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures. You're following me. He says, you're following me for this food to fill you up, but I'm about to give you everlasting life, or food that will nourish and sustain you forever. In verse 29, he says, the work of God is to do this, to believe in the one he has sent. Here is the one who was sent, telling them this, leading them along with him. And in verse 33, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son, to the Son, and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Jesus, through this bread and through these fish and through this need and this little boy and his family, and there's just so much depth to all of it, he says, seek what endures. Believe, have faith. He's calling them to have faith. Because through Jesus, you will not go hungry, you will not go thirsty, and you have the hope and the promise of eternal life. Now, I want to go back to one little thing. I want to go back to that kernel of barley, right? To those seeds that family planted. Where did they come from? You can shout it out. Where did they come from? Yeah, they came from God. They came from God who had given, who had planted. And these seeds that they got from other stalks of barley is what they planted to give forth the next crop. In John 12, 24, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus, from this deepest place of love, was heading towards the cross to do the will of his Father. He says in John 6, 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He was about to give his perfect life on the cross. And through his death and through his resurrection, we can have this kind of life. One that is once and for all cleansed of sin. And it's from this place of depth that we go out. It's from this place of depth that we go out into the world. And it isn't just traveling to really faraway places, right? We all go out every day. Whether it's out the doors here or out the doors of our homes, or we just go out when we're interacting with our family and those that are in the homes that we live with. The Great Commission, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Do you ever wonder what your call is? This word call has been more in my life in the past few years, but it's all of our call together as Christians. To go out and love, to go out and take this bread that God has nourished us with and take the gifts that He has given us and to share them with the world. From a place of deep nourishment to offer a deep nourishment. When we traveled, we flew down to Anchorage, and then we flew from Anchorage into Seattle a few days ago. I don't know which day, but I just know today's Sunday. but we flew in, and I don't really love flying. And the taking off and the landing always makes me a little nervous. But we were approaching Seattle, and I looked back, and I could see the sunset. We're on an evening flight. And it was beautiful that there were these low-lying clouds and the sun was just hitting them. And I looked back and I went, oh, you know, God, just let's just slow this plane down, you know? I'm not ready. I was not ready. In that moment, I just wanted to savor just the last bits, even though it was just on an airplane. I just wanted to savor those last bits of this particular time in Shaktulik. I just wanted it to go a little slower. And I cried quite a bit in that moment of just thinking, okay, we're about to touch down in Washington. But then I also remembered that this isn't the end. This isn't an end of any kind of call. And I was just saying, God, just please let me continue to share your love, to share your gospel message wherever it is that you put me. And I think, well, that's what God's saying right here. Yes, yep, you can do that, Mary. Yes, because that's the call that He's given to each and every one of us. So I want to give you a challenge today. I just want to invite you. This isn't a challenge. This is an invitation to join me, because I realize that 40 loaves of bread, well, first of all, I wish I had done it when I first went to Shaktulik, but I'm glad I did it at the end. But we can all do this. And it might be bread for some of you who really love baking bread, but maybe it's something else. I encourage you to just pray and think about the gifts that God has given you in this life. And how the joy He gives you to share those with the world, right? It's often in our places of joy. Those are the places that God has equipped us to share with the world 40 loaves of bread, but maybe it's 40 something else. Maybe you love to draw, right? Maybe you love to draw and you could draw like on some cards or something and send 40 notes to people. But here's what I want you to do. Write some notes to yourself. Write some scripture that reminds you of how much you are loved by God, of the depth of his love for you. If you live with other people in your home, write some notes to them. Let the aroma of what you're doing permeate your home and permeate your life and be reminded it's from that deep place that you come from that you go out. Or maybe it is baking bread, or maybe it doesn't have to even be something tangible. It can be a phone call, right? Maybe you call 40 people. Let the Lord lead. He'll lead in whatever it is. But I encourage you as you do that to nourish yourself, to nourish those you live with and those around you, and allow God, he's the one doing the nourishing, right? But make sure that you tend to that. Before we go out to share Christ with the world, we need to come from a deep place of faith. We need to receive the grace that he has given to us to go out in grace. We need to remember to read the word that God has given to us. When we read this, we're reminded. Remember what God has done. Be thankful. Have gratitude. To take time to cleanse. But let Jesus do the cleansing. Be reminded that you don't have to do a bunch of work because of Jesus Christ. You don't have to go around and do a bunch of work for the cleansing of your life. You just turn to him. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is an offensive way in me and lead me into a way everlasting. I often just pray that. Lord, show me. And take that to him and allow him to cleanse you of sin. Because from that, we're able to receive a deep amount of grace. Jesus multiplies from this place when we share ourselves with the deep needs of the world. And sometimes we don't always know what they are. That little boy or a teenager, whoever, he didn't set off that morning going, I bet there's going to be well over 5,000 people that need bread today, so I'm going to bring 5 loaves, right? He didn't go off thinking that. He just was just doing what he was doing, and he showed up, and Jesus multiplied what he had. So my prayer to you is to take care, to take that time with God, with your families, in your home, with those that you love, and then to take that bread out into the world. So I want to encourage you now to join me in prayer. And I thought today, go ahead and let's stand up. If you want to stand up, I invite you to stand up if that's comfortable for you. And just hold out our hands, right? Hold out our hands. We hold out our hands in receiving the grace that has been given to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much from the depth that you brought forth. Forgiveness, Lord, you brought forth from the depth creation. You brought forth life. And you have allowed us, Lord God, to be a part of your plan in this world. And Lord, we come to you and we are not perfect. We are in need. We are in need. And we have sin in our lives. And Lord God, we lift that up to you with our open hands, Lord God. Receive, hear our places. where we're hurting, where we're struggling, where we need you, because, Lord God, we cannot do this alone. Lord God, forgive us of our sin. Lead us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that because you were willing to give your life, Lord God, that we can receive a depth of grace that is broader than we could ever comprehend. Lord, help us to receive that grace as well, Lord, because there's some of us who, Lord, we don't do the best at receiving it. So, Lord, help us to receive it and be nourished by it. Lord, help us to be nourished by you. Help us to nourish our homes and our families, Lord. And, Lord, help us with these open hands to take these lives that you have given us to share your love with the world. Lord, help us to walk out into this world and share your grace. Lord, take what we have and multiply it for your will, for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that we can receive all this and we can give all this and we can live in hope and assurance of a life everlasting because of you. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Isn't that an important reminder about the power of hospitality and how even those little gestures can make a big difference? Because Jesus truly is the bread of life. So thanks, Pastor Mary, for sharing that word with us. Now, this is the point in our worship service where our kids are returning from children's church and the congregation is singing a song and we are preparing to come to communion together. And so, at least over the past couple of weeks, we've been taking this time to have just a moment with just the e-family, the online family. And just I want to thank you for being a part of the church family, even from a distance. You matter. You matter to us. And we're grateful for you. Now, as I've mentioned in other weeks, this is a little bit of an experiment. We're trying to see if it's helpful and useful to have some kind of custom content. So we've been asking for your feedback, and all the feedback we've received so far has been really positive, but we really do want to hear everything, because over the next week, we're going to be making some decisions about whether to continue this part of things. Now, I should let you know, the online church, like we will be continuing to stream our worship services really indefinitely. That's an ongoing thing. It's really just the question of whether things like this are really helpful or whether you're kind of wanting every part of the worship service to be totally live. Anyways, with all that in mind, let's come to the table together. Our Savior invites us to break bread with him and to remember him together. So I invite you to get some communion elements out. So any bread, any juice, so that even from a distance, we can be remembering him together as an extended church family. Because in the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so I would invite you, if you are viewing this with somebody, to serve one another with these words. We'll put them up on the screen. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. And well, let me just pray for us as we prepare to do that, and then we'll partake together. Lord, thank you for this powerful reminder of what your love looks like, that you would give your body, that you would shed your blood, and we remember that in this bread and in this cup of how much it cost you to purchase our forgiveness, of how much you have reached out to us with the hospitality of heaven. Lord, help each one of us to respond to you. And thank you so much for that gift. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So friends, this is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Let's remember him together. And let's close our time together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray these words, and I invite you to pray them out loud with me right now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So thank you so much for joining us for worship. And just pray God's blessing on you as we go to wherever you're going from here. And just keep loving like Jesus. Now, we're going to put some words up on the screen, so I invite you to take a minute or two and either if you're viewing with somebody, to talk with them, or if you're joining us online and it's Sunday morning, to maybe chat in the live stream a little bit with one of our online hosts. We would love to connect with you. So go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.